Chema. So we take up stories from the Srimad Bhagavat Puran. Again, very profound occult and spiritual scripture. And beauty is it's clothed in stories which appear very simple and it directly touches something deep inside. But of course, because they are in the form of stories, sometimes very difficult to grasp them by the mind as we are endowed today, the rational mind. So the first story that we take today is the story of famous, it's a well-known story that Shri Krishna is engaged in his pastimes in Vrindavan. They have moved from Braj Bhumi to Vrindavan. And they are all enjoying, so very nicely it describes that Shri Krishna is laying his head on one of the gop and somebody is pressing his feet. Then Shri Krishna is pressing feet of Balaram and so on, it's going on. They're all having a good time and then Brahmaji is watching all this. So he develops a state which is interesting that even the mediating creatrix, why we are saying the mediating creatrix, we'll come to that, he gets into confusion. And this is not the first time that he gets into confusion. There are a number of occasions where Brahmaji gets into confusion. It's very interesting. Once in the beginning when there is creation and who will be the greater god, Brahmaji or Vishnuji, and you know, a huge column of light appears before them and they have to find the end. And it doesn't have an end, but Brahmaji, it seems, comes back and tells them that, look here, there is, I have found the end. And Ketki flower tells a lie, and that's how we have talked about this story, so I'll not go into its detail. It's a very fascinating story. And therefore, he is not worshipped anywhere except Pushkar. Then comes another story where the gods can develop. So it's in the story of Rama when he has taken an avatar. And that story has some connection with this story. So Shri Ram is crying, Sita, Sita, when she has been abducted by Ravan. And Sati Mata wonders why as a god he is crying. How can a god do this? God is supposed to know everything. And therefore she asks Shiva that why are you worshipping him as Sachidananda Brahma? After all, he is an ordinary mortal, like an ordinary human being. He is crying. So I want to test him. And that's the time Shiva tells him, don't try this, but anyways, if you are so keen, you may go. And that's a moment when Shiva turns away. That's, to cut the long story short, she comes and dresses up like Mata Sita and hides amidst the bushes, thinking that she will catch hold of, you know, that she is an ordinary mortal. He thinks I am Sita and he'll call me and go by me, go with me. Then I'll reveal that I am not really Sita. See, I fooled you. So she dresses up or assumes a form like Sita Mata, and as she hides in the nearby place, Lord Rama, when he sees her, he suddenly does pranam and says, Mate, I am suffering because I have lost my Bharya. By being here, Lord Shiva is going to suffer the same way. So what is the prayojana? Why should you come down to earth? And she realizes that she has made a mistake. He is able to distinguish. So again, very profound story, seems very on the surface. So something similar happens again in the wedding of Shri Rama. Again, Brahmaji wonders that I can see certain flowers which I have not created. So what are these flowers and how they have come into existence? So basically, why is it, we start with this question, Brahmaji gets deluded? After all, he is a creator. So we'll come to that in one moment. But now the story. So let that suspense remain. So Brahmaji sees him playing and enjoying like an ordinary mortal. He's merging up with all the Gwalbal as if, you know, he's not behaving like a god. He's supposed to be on a pedestal. Everybody should call him Guruji, Bhagwanji, Swamiji. But he's just being happy with them. And so he tries to test. So what does he do? He designs a whole plot. And once like some of the cow herds and cows, they have not come back. So Shri Krishna and the Gwalbala discussing. Now Shri Krishna somewhere knows something is cooking up there. So he says, let me find them and come back. He takes his share of kheer, payasam, and he says, I'll eat on the way. Not payasam, by the way, this is very interesting. Curd rice, it's not payasam. He is having curd rice. So you see how food in India, southern food, northern food, even Odisha, they use a different term, pakalvat. It's curd rice. So he goes with curd rice in his hand and others are eating. He says, I'll come back. So as he goes, after some time, he says, okay, I can't find them. Let me come back. Meanwhile, Brahmaji says, now is my moment. And he suddenly takes all these Gwalbal and the cowherds, boys and the cows, and they disappear. So when Shri Krishna comes, he says, where are they? I went to search for them. I didn't find them. Now these have also disappeared. So he concentrates, he understands this is the handicraft of Brahmaji. And Brahmaji quietly takes them away and puts them into sleep in Brahmalok. He says, now you rest. He doesn't do any harm, but puts them into sleep. He wants to test whether Shri Krishna is really a god or it just some, because he's looking at his actions, he doesn't appear like a god. So then what happens? Shri Krishna, when he understands, by his yog maya, he expands himself into all these number of same to same ditto. He creates cowherds men, he creates the cows, the calf, everything he creates, and they are eating just like before. Now Brahmaji is little surprised. He says, okay, let me see how far does it go. And all of them go back to their homes, and then their mothers, all of them are very happy that, I mean, just like usual, they don't know anything unusual has happened. But there is a difference, and that's very interesting. Sometimes, you know, Bhagavad describes certain very profound truths in such a beautiful way. But there is a difference that somehow they start feeling so much love for their own children just as they felt for Shri Krishna. Otherwise, Vyas Rishi describes, otherwise they would feel more love for Krishna than for their children. So always they would feel more love for Krishna than for their children. Suddenly they start feeling, and it described even for the cows, that they started, you know, full of milk for the calf, and suddenly the love increased by any amount between them and the children, as if their children were Krishna. They were, of course, Krishna's expansion, but that's, they don't know this. And love increases, attachment increases, that sneha, Vaishnavi Maya as it's called. So after all that, this continues for quite number of days, 1 year it seems. And then one day Brahmaji says, this has made no difference at all. What is the problem? He still cannot understand. And then Shri Krishna finally finds those who were hidden. And now Brahmaji knows that it's my, like, basically I made a mistake. So he comes down, he does pranam, he bows down, says, I have been fooled. And so brings back all of them, they fuse into these children. And when they go back, then again, this is also described, then again their mothers, now they start feeling more love for Krishna as they were feeling earlier. So the only difference that it makes is that there is more love for Krishna otherwise and more love for Krishna after the whole incident. But during that 1 year, they feel love for all of them just as they would feel love for Krishna. Actually, I am reminded of a very beautiful Hindi bhajan, one of my favorites. So I must say this in Hindi. The poet says, Amar eke Krishna mon bhore na, ami anant Krishna dube chahi. It's in Bengali that, you know, I am not happy, satisfied with only one Krishna. I want infinite Krishnas to drown myself. So now this is how the story ends. Now story is very profound in several ways. First, because we are living in a scientific age, in Dwapar, post-Dwapar, people won't question, okay, this is Leela, they would intuitively understand. Now the youth question, is it possible? Now very interesting, if you go back in Bhagavad, there are two kinds of srishtis which are explained right in the beginning. We have spoken about it. So one is the Maithuni Srishti. Maithuni Srishti is the Srishti which takes place through sexual reproduction. The other is the srishti which takes place without the maithun, without the sexual, and Brahmaji himself is aware of that. But that Brahmaji is no more the next creator. It's all described there. So what is the srishti? It simply expands. After all, this is a question people ask, why it should go through all these processes? Why can't God just multiply like a carbon copy, Xerox copy? Why this complicated process? So this complicated process is precisely because it is an evolutionary srishti. So otherwise it's very easy for the divine to just multiply himself, to diminish, reduce as he wants. And this is a process, mother has spoken about it. Okay, but what is the evidence that creation can de novo extend? Mother speaks about this possibility in the coming times. Coming time means in the supramental world. She speaks about switching to a new body, and there are two instances, at least documented instances, in the life of Shrivindra and the mother. One in the life of Nimkaroli Baba, another in the life of if you read Paramahansa Yogananda's biography. Of course, they are known as bilocation, trilocation, multiple location, where now the movie is coming, Hanuman on Hanuman. Hanumanansh, which is about Nimkaroli Baba, who was known, if you read his life, who could be present in the morning in his ashram, and in the evening he would be present in his home. People would know that, you know, he is going there, and the wife didn't know that basically he is there, and it was literally like a bilocation. He would go in his trance and move there. It's quite well documented. In Shurvindo's own life, there are two documented instances, and one half document, half of it. One is where Eshadi experiences a whole group of people who came suddenly manifested in the train to help her out. I have spoken about this incident, so I'll not speak more. Where suddenly unknown two persons appeared and they helped her through the whole journey. And then she asked the mother, who were these people? Were they sent by you? He says, how does it matter? They reached in time. How does it matter that whether I sent them or not? There is another instance also. One instance where the mother actually created a being. She described how she created. And she says, but he could not stay for long in the material body. It's very difficult to stay for long. In her instance, it was 6 months, after which that being wanted to come back. So second possibility. I have mentioned this, but I can always, you know, in my own life it has happened. When in Pune, I wanted desperately some agarbattis from the ashram. And I felt very sad that they are over and I couldn't get them in time. So I was very despondent, because I was told there is no center, there is no center in Pune even now, but no outlet of ashram agarbattis, etc. And I am going on the pavement, very despondent, that why did I do this stupid mistake? I should have noticed. And suddenly I cross an agarbatti shop. I ask them, but no question of ashram agarbatti. I move few steps ahead, and then I said, if these two shops don't contain on the pavement, then it's unlikely, let's turn back. As soon as I turn back, I see another man sitting on the pavement with a little bori, what is it called, sackcloth. I said, we have just crossed. It's a 3-foot pavement, you can't miss a person, you know, you have to. And this man has nothing else but ashram agarbatti. And guess which one? Lotus fragrance, avatar. So I am so overwhelmed. I ask him, where did you get this from? Wrong question to ask a being who is materialized. He says, lena hai to lo, nahi to chodo. Matlab, it's like I have somehow, I am staying here, quickly you want to purchase, you purchase quickly. So I said, yes, yes. I want all of them, because they were only lotus fragrance, about the whole sackcloth was full. I said, I want all of them. And whatever is the amount, I still remember that time, 400 rupees, I handed over to him. 500, I said, take it. And he put it in the bora. He was not interested in keeping my money. he put the whole sackcloth. He said, take it with this. And he went away. And then I said, who could this fellow be? So I am trying to chase him, but it vanishes. So there are possibilities of this kind of a direct creation. So there are these two creations. One is which goes through the normal evolutionary process. The other is a creation which takes place through a direct materialization. And the only reason why that is not created direct as of now or in the beginning itself is because there will be non-evolutionary. So this Gwalbal, this is not described in the Bhagavatam, But the Gwal Bal cows, everybody is there. Because normally the thing will be then, why doesn't he straight away do that? Let everything vanish. Because there will be no evolution possible. So they are direct manifestations of Krishna. And this Brahmaji sees. He sees the Chaturbhuj Roop and he says, what have I done? So in Bhagavat itself, there are two kinds of creation described. One is non-evolutionary, which is what is described in the Bhagavat itself. That, you know, he is told, no, this won't do because they will remain static being. Just like gods. Gods are created. Gods cannot, you know. Of course, in cinema you'll see, like multiplication is not like he is literally a child of, he's a emanation. They can emanate. But for this world and for evolutionary purposes, one needs as of now, sexual reproduction through which new possibilities come, because that's what sexual reproduction provides, the intrusion of new possibilities. And because of that, the whole process is. So there is a possibility where a creation can take place directly from the divine, but it is not really done with a particular purpose. But in the Bhagavad, this possibility is shown, and I said there are instances, but yet these people do not do it because that will disturb the whole fabric of creation, which must evolve through its normal process. And there is a reason why it must evolve, but there will be going beyond the brief for today's talk. It's very fascinating, the whole idea of evolutionary creation through the sexual reproduction. And interestingly, it is the same energy which you turn upward, the same sexual energy, Ritas, turns ultimately into Ojas, Tejas, Virias, or rather Tejas, Ojas, Virias, same energy, which ultimately can either, you can go for sexual reproduction or new creation. And that is the reason also why many of these masters, real masters, like you see someone like Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, when she tells Sardama, you want to be mother of one child, two children or many children, she says many children, or mother of the worlds. So he does namaskar, and then all those who come there, they start treating them as their own parent. Even Shurubindu writes like this. Someone speaks about his parent. Shurubindu says, mother writes, that I am your mother and Shurubindu is there as your father. So this was the most profound relation of parenthood. There are letters of Shurubindu which one connects. So it has, of course, deep implication, because parent-wise, whatever creation comes, it carries the evolutionary baggage. Is this there in the story? It's there in the story. In the evolutionary baggage, there are many veiling things which veil the divine presence. But what happens when there is no evolutionary baggage? All the mothers or parents of these children who are created directly, they start taking that they are Krishna himself. There is no veiling, because this is not through the evolutionary process that they have come. So why evolutionary process? That is not the subject here, because this is a story about Brahmaji's awakening. And then when we see, this story has another interesting significance. So at a most spiritual level, this is the fundamental meditation which Sri Aurobindo advises. He himself did it in Alipur jail. So there is a veils after veils, because of which we cannot see the divine in the other person. And really it's very difficult at times. But there is another way. If we meditate that all this that exists is the divine, Sarva Khaluvidam Brahman, then we will begin to get past this hurdle one day, depending on the sincerity. And then everything begins to disclose the divine's presence. This is exactly what Sri Aurobindo's experiences. In fact, the mother said this is a supramental experience. When you enter that state, you will see the divine presence in all. And then, yes, the layers are there, the working is there, all that is there. Here, because Sri Krishna just bypassed, it's a lesson to Brahma. So what about Brahmaji? Is he not the creator? After creator should. So again, Brahmaji is right now the creator of Maituni Srishti. The moment it goes to another level, it's another creation which is going to come, which will be, that mother has spoken about it, that there will be no karma, no rebirth of this kind that we understand. So basically, this story gives a hint. It's not Brahmaji. And why Sri Krishna is the ultimate Lord? Because the whole creation is an act of delight. That's we go back to the origin. Why Shri Krishna comes everywhere? Because Shri Krishna is the impulsion. He is at once the immanent divine and the universal divine, as Shurvindu reveals to us. But also he represents the ananda. All creation is an act of ananda. And ananda multiplies itself in many ways. Even in human life, we want to take the delight of existence in countless ways. So that's exactly where, you know, Shri Krishna is the delight multiplying itself. He can multiply in many ways. And this is a lesson which even Brahma has to understand, that, you know, he is a creator for this, but there is something beyond him, something above him, which is the originating impulse of creation. That impulse can create this world completely anew. So this is the story, very interesting story about Brahmaji being deluded. As I said, it's very profound occult scripture. And yes, so that's what is part A. One more thing in the story. That's what I was remembering. This is something very interesting also. So what happens when suddenly everything changes? Now, you know, these beings have come. Now the scene that is described is another very interesting scene. So suddenly the scene changes to that present. So the scene changes into Shri Krishna holding the kheer, curd rice in his hands. And all of them are sitting. And Shri Krishna comes back. So what is this? What has happened for 1 year? All of them, as the book describes, that all of them in Braj Bhumi, they don't know that 1 year has passed. There are two more stories like that. They are the most profound secrets of time. And now modern physics is coming very close to that point where time vanishes. And you want to understand, like, I was very surprised. There is at least in creation one element for which time actually doesn't exist in a way. And that is the particle of light. Particle of light is here, is there simultaneously. It's very difficult to understand that why for light time doesn't exist. It travels. That is true. It travels. You know, the sun rays take time. But yet time doesn't exist. Of course, we'll not go into that kind of pure physics right now. But there is a kind of parallel possibility which exists where time ceases to exist. That takes us into what is time. So we all know that there is a psychological time. There is a physical time. So in physical time, a moment may be, you know, many years elsewhere, and Brahma's one moment, it is said, is 100 years or 1,000 years of earthly life. Now people say, is it just a story? No. Try to see when you are feeling sad. I mean, I should not feel sad. See how time passes. Very heavy. You know, waiting, looking at the watch. What is the time? And see, when you're happy, it flies. In the ashram, many people experience this. They don't know. That's why I made a habit of saying every time my birthday is over, next day I say now only 364 days left. I know it flies very fast. When you are in a state of inner happiness, you won't even perceive. They speed away. So physical level we can't, you know, because we are registering only physical time. But there is something like time at a psychological level, time at occult level, spiritual level. So again in this story, very passingly it is mentioned that all this happened as if in a split second, 100 years passed by. And when that scene returns, then everything is as if same. And it is also described that when finally they go back home, then the mothers again start feeling more love for Sri Krishna and no more and less love for their children. It's a very fascinating story, and it's a pointer that if we learn to see the divine in everything and everybody, this is the real truth, the parallel creation which exists simultaneously, and in the supramental world, that's how it is. And it's my personal truth that in a way I have seen, realized, understood, whatever way we want to put it, that simultaneously we all exist on several planes, but simultaneously on two different planes altogether. Now there are people who begin to fall down and they see only darkness in everyone. And the people who ascend and start seeing and experiencing divine in everyone. And it is simultaneous. It's not about the person or people, how they are or what they are. At one level they may be this, but this deeper truth is that there is the same Krishna in everyone, which that moment all the people in Vrindavan, they realize that it's not just Krishna whom we know, that same Krishna is in everyone and everything. So this is the basic story, very fascinating story, and we'll stop with this here. Jai Maa.